Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Discipline is the key. Like, if we remember, we took quite a few penalties in the first period. Then you don't want to give momentum to a team like this. We want to match like toe to toe with them, and we will have to be very disciplined to stay out of the box.
There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't say that the Chicago Blackhawks are setting the world on fire like Pittsburgh with the power play, but at 17.8%, it's pretty lethal. But maybe the flip side of that is Calgary Flames, of all of the highlights and all the things that are going well, Pat, a quarter of the way in the season, penalty killing's not quite there. Penalty killing, they're not taking a lot of penalties. They're not amongst the league leaders and minors taken, but they have been giving up power play goals, and this Hawks team, you know, and I both know, have the ability to throw at a very lethal power play.
Although
the
penalty killing had looked to be maybe turning a corner prior to Tuesday night.
Like, well, it's digging itself out of a statistical hole from early on.
Yeah,
right?
early on they were allowing a lot of power play goals. Even in the win over, even in some of their wins, they gave up play goals.
Yeah.
Like the Edmonton win, they allowed power play
That's
goals.
Right.
The Chicago win, the only goal the Blackhawks scored was on the power play.
Right.
So they're digging themselves out of that right now. So that is an interesting thing to look at. You take a look at where the Chicago power play is coming into this game. Once again, it's not, they've got the lethal weapons, but it's never been a very lethal power play. Right now, 19th in the National Hockey League heading into tonight. You take a look at where they were last year. They were 10th in the NHL, so it was a little bit better. But it's not as if they've had a power play that's been right. Their Stanley Cup year in 2013, they were 19th in the NHL. It's always been very interesting to me how that team, with Kane, with Taves, with Hossa, with the players they have on the back end, mm-hmm. like Keith specifically,
right,
how this power play hasn't been able to be one of the more lethal ones on a consistent basis. It was 26th in 2011-2012. It's always kind of baffled me how that's happened and why it hasn't been more of a more high-end power play. And this year enters 19th through 19
well,
games for them.
You know, and I wonder, taking a look at the attempts, though, sometimes if you're really successful at drawing penalties, that's going to push your power play down, right? That, you know, if you're constantly out there, and look, they're a team that draws penalties. They're a team that you can get chasing. You can get chasing Kane. You can get chasing Hossa and stuff like that. You can take penalties against the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm like you. I'm not too worried about the numbers. I think it was 7 power plays.
I'm just looking right
on,
now.
On October 15th.
One for seven.
Yeah. So you took penalties. And Bob Hartley was talking about that. You have to be disciplined against this Chicago Blackhawks team. If you don't mind, we've got Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, coming into the bottom of the hour. Want to at least take a couple of moments to talk about some of the big stories in the National Hockey League, Pat, that are happening off the ice today. One is a story that we have been following now for a couple of months with the National Hockey League and defenseman Slava Voynov of the Los Angeles Kings. The district attorney in the county of Los Angeles today has filed charges in connection with an alleged attack on his wife that took place way back, I want to say in October 19th. The charge is one felony count of corporal injury to spouse with great bodily injury. If convicted, the accused, in this case Voynov, faces a possible maximum sentence of 9 years in state prison. The NHL has just this past moment or so released a statement from Bill Daly. We are aware of the actions taken today in California, which we will review and evaluate before making any decisions. Until further notice, the current terms of Mr. Voynov's suspension remain in place. Part of this story has been earlier in the week, kind of a back and forth between Dean Lombardi and Gary Bettman about this suspension. And early on, I think, I expect that Dean Lombardi's under a great deal of pressure, and there's some frustration there, certainly salary cap implications. This was somewhat uncharted territory, and I thought the LA Kings stood up and, you know, accepted it, and Dean Lombardi took, you know, a responsibility somewhat for this happening, saying they got to do a better job of educating their players. But, Pat, now it takes a month later, there is a news update. I don't believe we're going to see Mr. Voyanov anytime soon.
Here's a statement from his attorney. Mr. Voyanov is extremely disappointed that the district attorney's office elected to file charges. Mr. Voyanov maintains his innocence and looks forward to clearing his name in court. We remain confident. So that comes from the attorney today. And obviously the district attorney has different ideas as to Voinov's attorney as to this whole thing. So that's the latest news when it comes to Slava Voinov.
3:30. Yes, 3:30. Brad Treliving will be here. And then when does Mike Moore come? When do we get that guy? He's always constantly hiding from us. If we could only get the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen in here at some point. He's just constantly hiding from me. Never hiding? Oh, is that it? Yes, you are. We are. That's right. Oh, what an afternoon it's been of our hallway interviews. Mike Moore, the general manager.
You know, you can just, like, let me talk to people. You can talk to people off mic and then not have things go completely off the rails like that, you know.
Then you are not a student of my shows. Because I have been doing this Sunday.
I know. I'm fully aware of that.
Interviewed Gary Bettman in the hallway from here. And I'm not sure what that proves.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it proves.
Sure what it proves either. But thank you. That's a good reminder, actually.
You don't care.
Not at all. Looking for reasons to be fired. Voyanov, that's one situation. The other situation, and boy, Pat, I don't know how you feel about this. I don't, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I like guys. I like professional athletes. A lot of them I really do. Don't really care about their money. Never really been concerned about how much they make or anything like that. That's their issue. Don't begrudge them. Don't envy them, any of that. But I have just, my heart's broken. I got to be honest with you over this Jack Johnson story. Have you been paying attention to it?
I have, yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's a tough one. It's really unfortunate that it has to be that type of scenario. Not just that he lost the money, but also that he lost his relationship with his parents. Like, that's the way that it all went down. Again, it's on the Columbus Dispatch website. Aaron Portsline had the story, and it's a really good read, and it's really you're engrossed in it.
Well, but Aaron does such a great job, doesn't he?
But man, like, Jack Johnson had $18 million earned in his time in the NHL, yep, and has nothing to show for it because he entrusted his parents to
which you would think you should be able
to,
right?
Bet. You know, and it was funny. I was talking to a colleague of ours earlier in the day. He was just ripping Jack Johnson for what is he doing letting his parents go. I'm like, dude, I know how bad I've been with money in the past. I absolutely would let my dad handle my finances. Nobody I know better on this planet that's better with money than my dad. I would absolutely give him all the authority in the world, and I would trust him. And so I can fully understand how Jack Johnson would entrust his parents to his finances and go about it that way, which is why it's such a betrayal to have this happen. And I just feel that's the worst part of it. Like, you feel bad anytime a professional athlete gets bilked for money, and you hear about it all the time. You have bad investments, bad decisions, relying too much on friends, trusting friends, and that's not the right way to go about it. But this was his parents, and that's what makes it even worse for me.
You know, it's the old adage, until you walk, you know, a mile in someone's shoes, and I'll defend Jack Johnson in this case for exactly what you said. I mean, you choose your friends. You can't choose your family. And what bothers me a little bit about this story, Pat, is, and I wouldn't say we saw this coming or anything like that, but Jack Johnson's father has had a rather large role to play in his life, you know, as a NHL player. I mean, I don't know. I think most people remember. This was a kid that was drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes, mm-hmm, and forced to trade to Los Angeles. The father, so much so, Pat, do you remember this little wrinkle? He could have played in the Stanley Cup final in 2006 with Carolina because school was done and he was coming out. And the Carolina Hurricanes wanted to sign him, would have used him in their playoff run to a Stanley Cup. But he said, no, I want out. And the father had a large role to play in that. He will go through the process that you go through of restructuring and recovering and coming out of this. But, you know, thankfully we don't hear, and maybe it's underreported, I don't know, but thankfully we don't hear of this more often. You'd think that something like this would happen more often or could happen.
I guess. I mean, the parents thing is pretty rare. I can't think of very many parents who would screw over their son like that. So that's maybe not as surprising that this is so rare. But you don't hear about NHL guys having this happen all that often.
You come from, and I don't pretend to know the background of the Johnsons. And I'm just saying, for instance, in baseball, you often hear about very troubling stories out of Puerto Rico or Venezuela or stuff with Major League Baseball players and, you know, the agents and the people. I think it was Stephen Brunner, was it Elliot Freeman, a number of years ago, did the story about all of the talons that were in these ball players, all the people that had a piece of them, agents, representatives, academies, and all these things that, you know, almost felt they were owed something if they ever got to Major League Baseball. It was part of the conversation about the steroid use and things like that by the Latin American ball players. Look, there's a lot of people that don't come from privileged backgrounds, and all of a sudden you get thrown into this kind of money. Bad things can happen.
Well, it's and you hear it a lot about it in the NFL. You hear a lot about guys who make it big and you know, whether it be business investments, real estate investments, giving money to friends
right.
that they grew up with, whatever it
right.
might be.
Yeah.
You hear it all the time. And that's why teams in NHL, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, it's why teams have people and have courses designed. And the players' associations
yep.
have courses designed to, hey, manage your money because this is a short-term career.
Yeah.
Like you might be, some guys can play 15, 20 years in the NHL, but most guys in the NFL make two or three year paychecks and
yeah.
then they're not making that money anymore. So save your money, be smart with it, set yourself up. And they have advisors who come in the beginning of every year to do this. And I think that that's a really important thing.
Again, I tweeted out the link to Aaron Portsline's story. If you haven't heard it, it's tough. I will talk with Elliot Freeman about it a little later on. Breaking news involving a former Flame. The Montreal Canadiens have acquired defenseman Brian Allen from the Anaheim Ducks in return for forward Rennie Bork. Surprised by that?
Little bit more
I
so on the duck side.
I am too.
I liked Allen against the Flames.
I did,
on Tuesday night.
I mean, you got those. I really like their kids on the back end. Vatanen, Lindholm, Fowler, great. But they got that nice mix of, you know, Beauchemin, and I thought Brian Allen's fit in there very well too. I know the Mace, you know, they got Manson and things like that. I'm like you. I was. It's funny it happened because I'm the Brian Allen story I'll never forget is when he hit Jerome Iginla, knocked him out. Iginla fought him and then missed, what, a month or so?
Yeah. That was the year he could have had his best statistical season
yeah.
ever.
Right.
I think he ended up with 94 points in 70-something games
right.
that year.
Just
had he played
yeah.
that full year, he would have been up in the 105, 110-point vicinity. That's an odd one. And I wonder what prompts that from a Ducks perspective. I think if you're Montreal, yeah, I think we understand why they trade Rennie Bork. It's just not working there. But from an Anaheim perspective, what prompts this move? And I think that, you know, you talk about the young defensemen they have, and there's no doubt about it. Hampus Lindholm was outstanding against the Flames and
yeah.
has really come along.
Yeah.
We know what
yeah.
Fowler is. We know yeah. what Vatanen is. Vatanen had 3 points against the Flames off the back end. He's one of the highest scoring defensemen in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely.
Ben Lovejoy's there, and they're able to do a few other things on that back end. But I would have thought they would have wanted to keep Brian Allen. So I wonder if they have something else in mind, if they're, you know, maybe Beauchemin's the one veteran they want to keep. But that one is surprising from a Duck standpoint, not just that they'd go out and get Rennie Bork, but that they'd part with one of their veteran defensemen.
They're not, according to Cap Geek, they're not bouncing up. They've got a cushion. Brian Allen is making, he's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. $3.5 million. I guess the other function of this too, Pat, is clearly Bergeron's not too happy with his back end in Montreal because we've seen Gonchar added to that mix. They moved out Travis Moan to get him from Dallas. Now they add another veteran defenseman. You know, they don't do these things by accident. This isn't just, oh, we're bored, so let's do a deal. So 3.5 for Brian Allen, and just looking up Rennie Bork here. Since he's not with the big club, I suppose he's down the list a little bit here. Or has he already been moved? Do you know what Bork's making off the top of your head?
It was in the $3 million range, I believe.
So,
and I believe they're both in the final years of contracts as well. So that is that's kind of what we're looking at in that respect. Yeah, I can't find Bork on here either.
Yeah.
But I believe they're both in the final year of contracts right now. Oh, there he is. Yeah, he's under their buried players. 3.3 is his cap
so hit. It's almost so it's a push.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're both,
yeah.
Bork's got 2 years left on his contract, and
Allen
has one.
Hmm. And I'm a little sketchy in the new CBA. Does Bork have to clear waivers to come up?
No.
Okay.
No re-entry waivers anymore.
That's right. Okay. So Anaheim could bring him up.
Yeah.
Interesting mix with Anaheim in having Danny Heatley and Rennie Bork.
Well, yeah, and Heatley's hurt right now.
Yeah. But maybe he's hurt a little bit more than we think.
Maybe, although, are you really, and this is no, I mean, I guess it's a knock on Danny Heatley. Are you really going out and contingency planning for Danny Heatley's injury? Like, you signed him to a one-year good value deal to begin with.
I guess what we'd have to get an Eric Stevens on or somebody from the Anaheim side, because we know Montreal's dissatisfied with Rennie Bork. That's obvious, right? That's a no-brainer. But what's the impetus to move Brian Allen from Anaheim's standpoint? They don't like him. Brian Allen's a serviceable NHLer. He's not an all-star. I don't think he's the catalyst for championships or anything like that. I think he's very portable that way. But the Ducks do assume a player with an extra year, you said?
Yeah.
And who's currently playing in the minors. So unless you think you're the reclamation person, unless Bruce Boudreau has said, I can get through to this guy, I don't know. Do we need to go back and rehash the Rennie Bork conversation?
No, I don't think
we do. He just tempts you with the skill.
Maybe it's as simple as they're just freeing up a little bit more cap space, and Bork is an option if they need it. They can recall him if they need, and then you've got $3.5 million of cap space, because right now, as it stands right now, Rennie Bork is not on their cap because he's still on the minors. So you're looking at a top six win healthy of Fowler, Beauchemin, Stoner, Vatanen, Lovejoy, Lindholm. Those are your six, and then you probably have Mark Fistrick and Josh Manson who can fit in there as well when everybody's healthy. So they don't have that one elite defenseman, although maybe Fowler turns into that at some point, maybe Lindholm turns into that at some point. Mm-hmm. Right now they don't have that, mm-hmm. but they are deep. So to kind of, now that you start to talk it through, to kind of alleviate yourself with $3.5 million gives yourself a little bit more room if you want to do something later on, and mm-hmm. gives you a little bit more, you an option if you want to bring Bork up and go about it that way too without having to have any hit on your cap.
Starting to see little moves around the league. I remember we had this conversation about a month ago, when New York had the injuries on the back end, Boston had the injuries on the back end. Where are we going to see, you know, some things happen? Well, we've seen Jordan Leopold move to the Columbus Blue Jackets. We saw a minor deal with Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers today. Will Acton and Kellen Lane exchanging.
I'm surprised
jerseys.
That you didn't lead with that one.
You know what? I feel for Craig McTavish in a way, because, you know, I don't know why they needed to make the move, clearly, and they needed to make the move. But that's not what everybody up there is waiting for, right? And you're just going to get vilified for doing something that isn't, you know, corrective.
I don't know if I do feel for Craig McTavish.
You don't know? You're a little on the fence on that?
It's not okay. Even... I just, like, do something. Mm-hmm. Recognize an issue and do something. I mean, Craig McTavish wanted Dallas Eakin so bad. He was the guy.
Fired Ralph Kruger after saying, we took him over. I like him.
After 48 games, which is typically the body of work that you really should be using to evaluate coaches. 48 games,
right.
And that's it.
Right.
No, you fire Ralph Kruger because you wanted Dallas Eakins that bad. It has been an unmitigated disaster with that guy as the head coach. He is awful, and it's not going to work with him, and yet they're not going to make the move. And I have zero confidence, Rob, that they're going to make the moves that they need to make in that organization.
I don't think they have a choice.
Whether it be Kevin Lowe or Craig McTavish. Yeah. They haven't had a choice for a long time, and they still haven't done anything about it. I really still don't have the confidence that they're going to do anything. If they do, it'll be a pleasant surprise, because they need to. But that organization is as stubborn as they come. And they are just, no, it's going to work. You just wait. Yeah, this is all part of the plan. It's going to work. It's going to work. No, you don't know it's going to work. So the day that they make the right move with their coach, the day that they make the right move with their personnel, and I believe the right move is making a trade that shakes up those core players and moves one of them out, will be an absolute shock to me, because I just don't see them doing it.
Look, there's pressure out there on everybody, right? Things are happening. Maybe when Brad Treliving comes in, we can ask him a little bit about the atmosphere out there as the general manager of the Calgary Flames, scheduled to join us here in a couple of minutes. Was going to spend most of our time talking about, what's going on with the team, but apparently other things are happening.
I think we can probably still focus on the team.
You think so?
It's probably still okay.
You sure?
Well,
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
I think if I was driving around right now, I think I'd rather hear Brad Treliving talk about his team's 12-6-2
start. You don't want him 12, to break down that Kellen Lane, Will Acton deal?
Brad, Will Acton, why did the Oilers trade him?
Say,
why
Pat.
Why did they give up on him?
Say, Pat, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Country Hills Golf Course.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Looking forward to the Black Friday sale.
Absolutely.
We're not just Country Hills, but a number of other golf courses come together for an absolute blowout. Apparel, equipment, all kinds of stuff reduced at drastic levels, all in one spot. They got a big pro shop. They got a big parking lot. So come on down if you need, even if you're not a golfer, but you wear golf shirts or you wear casual wear, they have got it all there in one spot. And I will be picking something up tomorrow. I don't know what, but I guarantee you
another
I will
shirt
because
that says boss.
It might,
so
might
we know
have
who
a couple
to,
of
so
boss
we know
shirts.
Who's in trouble or who's in charge.
The deals are just too good at the Black Friday sale. Country Hills Golf Course tomorrow will be on location noon till 6. Can I give these Flames tickets away?
Would you like to give some Flames tickets away?
As they say, the Big Show ticket window's open.
I haven't heard that before.
We've got
no button in line, kids.
We've got two pairs of tickets for tonight's game between
for
the
tonight's
Flames
game
and the Chicago Blackhawks. Yes, indeed. These are courtesy of the Flames, and they will be left at will call for you. So again, text only 960-960. If you know the trivia question or the answer to this trivia question, you got to have your first and last name on the text before you can win. The first two answers will get to go to tonight's game between the Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right, let me get my phone here.
We had, you're already going. Oh. We had Keegan Kansas.
So
you can try and play.
All right.
But you know the answer, too, because you helped interview the guy. We had Keegan Kansas on with us a little earlier today.
Well, there is that.
He was acquired by the Calgary Hitmen last night from the Victoria Royals. He's also a Flames third-round pick. I need to know, and he told us during the interview, I need to know his hometown. First two answers that tell us the hometown of Keegan Kansas.
Where he was born?
Where he was born.
Not where he's living
Not
now.
Not where he's living now. His hometown, where he was born.
Got it.
960-960 with your first and last name on
Can
the
I
text.
Can I just tell you right now? Or?
No, because then people are going to know. All Although right. It's probably too late. You could tell them right now, but then that ruins the suspense for people who
Well,
don't
no, we
know.
Want to suspend the people.
Exactly.
All right.
You're suspended.
Take a break when we come back. He is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Brad Treliving will join us in studio. It's game day. The Hawks, the Flames, game 21 of an 82-game schedule for the Flames here on your home of the Calgary Flames, where you can listen to the Flames because we have the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and the color analyst of the Flames on radio, Peter Labardius, and the host of Overtime, the Flames talk show, Pat Steinberg, right here on the home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Sportsnet 960, talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by the Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $29.95 per person, including dinner and show. Click ComedyCave.com.
Next 60 games is this major mountain. So hopefully we can continue on.
With Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames. So what is the update from your infirmary on your injured guys?
Well, nothing tonight. Well, I shouldn't say that. Michael Ferland will be in the lineup tonight. He's missed 8 games. He's been back practicing. I think I've seen the last few days, and it takes a while just to get back from those things. Outside of that, we don't think it's anything long term. touch wood with Chris Russell and David Jones. They're both day to day. The guys that have been out for an extended period, the Backlunds, Raymonds, Colburns, all are progressing. Nobody's gone back staging. Yep. They've been, skating on their own here. I think as we get into probably next week and the end of next week, now we can start talking timelines. We're not here saying, okay, when you get into these long-term ones, you're trying to narrow the scope before you start circling dates. We're not in the circling the date, this date in that building or home against these guys. I'm hopeful, if things keep going, that as we go on the trip next week, we may have a guy or two join us for practice at some point. Once you get into some practice, then you can start targeting dates. So we're not there yet, but off in the not-too-distant horizon, I think we can hopefully see some guys starting to make their way back sooner rather than later.
I do hate to ask about something that I think is a rumor more than anything. Michael Backlund. Do you anticipate getting Michael Backlund?
No. Back? No, not right now. He's sort of in the same group. His is a funny one because Vaks tried to battle through it. He had it before camp. We kind of limited him in camp. And then right at the end, he jumps right in and he played whatever he played, 10 games or so. And it was a struggle for him. And his type of injury is just one where you just got to shut him down and rest. And, you know, he'll have a couple of good days. He'll get sore again. So next week, hopefully, we have a better read of where Michael's at.
One of the, I guess, the best things that can happen to a general manager is to have to make difficult decisions. Mm-hmm. Am I talking out of school when I say you might have two young guys that have proved themselves as NHLers in Marcus Granlund and Josh Juris? Are they close to creating a headache for you and opening a spot up?
Yeah, they. I can't say enough. Now, the challenge always with those guys is, okay, you know, is this morning glory or is this,
absolutely,
you know, is
absolutely
this over a period of time? And what I can say about both is they've passed each test. I look at like a guy like Josh, probably nothing more supports that more than the other night. We were at home and we had the 5-on-3 late in the game, and you know, he's the one forward out there, yeah, killing the penalties. So, you know, he's passed the coach trust test, which is a big,
yep,
test. Both of them have come in, quitted themselves well, and you're absolutely right. You know, the good news is, Rob, is when you get, you know, when we start to get healthy, it's a great thing when you think, okay, now what? Versus, okay, you get healthy and you just know the two or one or three guys that need to go away. You know, these kids are pushing for jobs, not just to fill in when people are back, but when people are back. So that's a testament to, that's how you grow, and ultimately, that's how you get better as an organization. When you have bottom player, you need those top guys, but what you do need to, what makes you better is when you have a bottom push. And as much as we've got a couple guys injured in Adirondack, but there's a handful of guys down there that they're knocking on the door. So that's, we like those problems.
I'm curious about your observation on your veterans, mm-hmm, especially your veteran forwards. I mean, you gave Devin Setoguchi an opportunity. You know, you've got, you know, Curtis Glencross, who's looking for a new deal. Are you satisfied 20 games in with what you've gotten from your veteran forwards?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think our veteran, you know, I look at a guy like Curtis, you know, obviously there's two parts to it. There's the on-ice and the off-ice. And I think our veteran guys have done a really, what goes unseen by the paying customer is, you know, it's great to have a Marcus Granlund, Josh Juris, and Johnny Gaudreau coming in here. A guy like Curtis, he's supported these guys. You know, what he's done to help them make feel comfortable and behind closed doors and the mentoring and those things have been tremendous. We need our guy, you know, our big guys to produce. And I think Curtis, the good news about Curtis is he's, you know, in some of the internal metrics we do, he's
right.
He leads our team, you know, he's up there in ice time in terms of chances for and creating opportunities in the offensive zone. And not just off the rush. Like a lot of our stuff has come off the rush, what we'd call offensive zone chances, right, creating in the offensive zone. Curtis leads our team. So Curtis would be the first to tell you he'd like to be sitting on more goals than he has. To me, he's creating chances around it. Devin's a guy who we talked a lot about. We brought him in. He would tell you we need some production. I would say watching Devin's game, and I guess I know a lot of the focus, and rightly so, is on production and goals and assists. To me, he's been around it more. He's been a more involved, more engaged player. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our message to players is we try not to put the focus on you need to score. You need to do the things that will allow you to score. You need to go to those areas. You need to. So I'm seeing that more and more with Devin. But at the end of the day, we do need production. So Those, you know, in Devin's case, he would tell you, and I'll tell you the same thing. We're hoping and needing more.
I don't think it's speaking at a school to say that, and certainly taking the phone calls after games. I know it's the hottest topic out there, and that is the future of your head coach and where you are on a potential contract extension. Do you have any update on that right now?
I get asked that a lot. You know what? And I'll answer it the same way I have. We dealt with it in training camp. We knew that, and that's why we wanted to bring it out in training camp. Those things will take care of themselves in due course. I know it's a listen. I understand the question and why it gets asked. I'll tell you this: that I've been nothing but impressed with Bob. And you know, it's been everybody talks me getting to know Bob. Bob had to get to know me, and you know. It was a little bit unique in that in a lot of ways in this game, you know a lot of people. Bob and I had, I don't think we'd actually ever met. So this was a new relationship for both of us. But I've been just thoroughly impressed. Just, you know, obviously, and you know, people look to the start and the record, but it's more than that for me. It's the preparation that goes in, the detail. You know, Bob pushes and drags everything out of this group, but it's done in a way, it's a teaching method. You know, there's pushing, but all the other times it's positive and teaching. And you know, as I said back in training camp, we're not going to discuss the contract and those things publicly. We don't with players. We won't with coaches. But it'll there'll be a time and place for that to get sorted out.
No, I just wanted to make sure that we did cover that. I know that a lot of people, and you're right, I'm sure you do get asked about it on a regular basis. Sean Monahan, you mentioned him earlier. Are you surprised how quickly he's ascended to right now knocking on, like, he's playing like a true number one center right now? Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not. It seems like a long time ago, those first five games, when there's a lot of questions about Sean Monahan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to him in the summer a little bit, and even coming to camp is, you know, it's all, and a lot of this, the external stuff that you deal with is expectations, right? Like, you look at different, when there's very little expected, you know, every little nibble, you think you're over, you know, you're overproducing and you're playing above your means. I said that the challenge coming in, Sean, is there's going to be more expectations. You scored 20 goals as a rookie. Secondarily, you're also now, people will circle your name. Opposing coaches will look and say, okay, we got to pay attention to this guy. Quite honestly, you know, for three quarters of the season last year, they didn't know who Sean Monahan was. So all those factor into it. I think what's even more, stands out to me more for Sean is a lot of this has been done, quite frankly, when you lose, and this is nothing against Michael or Marcus Granlund and Josh Juris, and you know, we've had a couple of different guys pinch hit with the centermen that have been out. He's, you know, the one true natural center with NHL experience on our roster for the last 3 weeks. And you know, he gets all the heavy matchups. He plays against other teams' top lines. We expect him to defend. We also expect him to score. So I think what we're seeing is a young player mature sort of in front of our eyes. Now there's going to be dips and valleys, and there's all those types of things. But what's impressed me, again, I come back to it. Yes, the production's been good, and it's been great, and we need those things. But if you really watch Sean's game, just he does little things that young players, quite frankly, just don't usually do. You know, playing in his own end, in the style that we play, there's a lot of responsibility on the centerman in his own end. For defensive responsibilities, he makes little plays. His defensive instincts, stick positioning, where he, you know, just where he is on the ice, supporting and collapsing in the middle of the ice, and the poise that he's shown. You know, he's, you know, you guys are around him every day. He's not a normal 20-year-old.
He's got ice water in his
veins. He's a mature guy, and that's
his
game.
Right?
He's a mature player. So. No, getting to know him a little bit and being around him, I'm not surprised. And, you know, we need him to continue on.
When you factor in Monahan's pretty rapid progression and then Bennett Backlund, Stajan, what we just talked about, what Granlund's doing, Juris is playing center, and Stajan, like, it, all of a sudden it's a problem you want to have, because all of a sudden, and this is something that has not been the case in years past, looks like your group's pretty deep down the middle.
Yeah, and it's a priority. I mean, I said coming in here, you can't have success, especially in the West. I don't care, West or East, without being deep in the middle. You know, you look at the top teams, and it's such an important position for, you know, not only, you know, but in a lot of ways, you're the quarterback. You know, you look at, a centerman can make wingers better and distribute the puck and drag others along with them, and you're the one that pulls the line along. And all you have to do is take a look at our conference and go down the list of the teams that have success. So having too many centers is, that is not
impossible.
A problem. That's not a problem. Yeah. And, you know, those are that falls under the good problems to have.
How's Bennett progressing? Like, I know he's back in the
city.
He's
back. Yeah. He's back. He's been back, I think, for a couple of weeks now. Good. You know, you got to. You know, one of the great things about Sam is there's some of those guys you have to kick in the rear end, and there's others you have to pull back. If you ask Sam, he might be able to go tonight, but, you know, he's progressing really well. You know, the good thing out of this, if you can say that, is, you know, he got injured, so we had to get it taken care of. But he's not only spending a lot of time, obviously, in rehab, but it's allowing us now to. You know, he's getting a lot of he's putting full days in there. You know, the training staff, once, you know, they're done with the players here, just the conditioning part. He's doing a lot of, you know, there's a lot of strength training and you know, nutrition, all those things are going on. So he's progressing well, and we're hopeful that he'll be back up and going here before too long.
Just a couple more with Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames. Your counterpart in this building, Mike Moore of the Calgary Hitmen, acquiring one of your drafted prospects in Keegan Kanzig from Victoria. I'm sure fans would like to know, and I'm sure people would make assumptions. Is there any connection between you, the Flames, and the Hitmen in a deal like this?
Not really. I mean, first of all, Mike and Kiss do a great job with them, and they certainly don't need any help from me or any of us, but... you know, so they independently look at their deals and building their teams. To say that we would never have had a conversation when they ask us our opinion on the player, obviously, you know, we have those. The real good thing about being in the same building is we talk a lot.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be about their players or about players around the league, there's a real good sharing of information, and they're the experts of that league. So, you know, as they were looking at possibilities, they kind of mentioned to us. But I think it's important to know that. You know, as I said to them, hey, at the end of the day, the deal worked out. It's a great benefactor as us being able to have one of our young guys, you know, in-house now. But by no means would we be driving it or influencing in any way. If they feel that that's a deal that works for them and helps their team better, good for them and good for us that we've got Keegan here.
We could ask you many, many questions about Adirondack, and maybe we'll do that another time. But I do have one, and it's a rather pointy question. If you had a defenseman go down here in Calgary, who would be the first guy recalled?
Well,
are you in a position where you can recall based on?
Yeah, it's and I, you know, the only caveat I put to there, Rob, is again depending lefty righty, depending.
Yep. So you have that flexibility.
We do have some flexibility there. I mean, it's an area I think I've said. You know, going back now for a while, we got to continue to add depth there. We've made a couple signings for depth. And then two of the guys, Potter and Witherspoon, both had off-season shoulder surgery. They had late starts.
Yeah.
Both of them are up playing well. We've got some young kids down there too. You know, obviously Seeloff and Culkin. Kulak, just with the number one, we'd sent him to the East Coast League. By no means is that a punishment thing. We want to keep them all up and playing. Yeah. So. Kandari. So there'd be a number of guys, again, depending on fit and need, I guess.
Good situation to be in.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of those good situations.
There, you know what, and that team, I give a lot of credit to the coaches down there. They, you know, we, you know, the other day I was going down to see Adirondack, and I said, well, geez, I'll just stay with Calgary and see Adirondack because they're all up here. But, you know, they've done a good job. I think they've now won 6 in a row, 5 of them on the road, so they're playing well right now.
Goaltending's coming back.
Yeah,
right?
It's coming back around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, do want to take a moment just to acknowledge the fact that you've been so gracious enough to help out the Hockey Alberta Foundation Board on December 3rd here at the Dome with the Every Kid, Every Community program. You're going to be the featured speaker. It's a luncheon. People can get tickets by going to hockeyalberta.ca. Tough. You're going to have to work through the host, but an opportunity for people to ask questions and get to know you.
Yeah, hopefully they get a good night's sleep the night before so I don't bore them right to sleep. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. And any time that I can come and speak at a luncheon or a dinner or something hosted by Rob Kirchner, that's a good day. So
there
I'm excited.
We go. Yeah, that was right in the offer when Brian made it to you.
I won't come unless.
Brad, we've monopolized your time as we always do, but thank you so much for the generosity of it, and thank you for the answers and continued success.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Yep. Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. We'll take a break and come back with more here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.